So glad you're here. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm so glad that you're here today. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is saying that to you today. I'm so glad that you are here today in God's house. You know, this is an extraordinary time that we are living in. And, you know, it goes without really having to say, these are unprecedented days. And I believe that we're heading into an unprecedented year. I mean, we've always said that, but something about this year is really incredibly unprecedented. And so I want to talk about a little about this year. And I'm going to give you some words of what some of the prophets of today are saying about this year that we're moving into. How many believe that we're moving on to a year of good things? Amen? We're moving on to a year of good things. You know, we're in this series called Be Ready. Be Ready. Because there are things that are going to happen in this year and in this decade that are mind-blowing. And we got to be ready, you know. And the whole thing is all about being prepared and being ready for the moves of God. Because we can miss those opportunities very easily if you're not prepared. Amen? Let's pray. Let's dedicate this word to God. Thank you, Father. I thank you that you, Jesus, you said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And I pray that this morning, that this word would come from your mouth, that you would anoint this message, you'd anoint my mouth, and you would anoint every ear to hear truth that sets us free, that releases us into our destiny, our purpose, the grand purpose of God, and advances your kingdom for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. Moving on to a year of good things. Words are very powerful. And it was one Sunday when Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he went into the synagogue as usual on the Sabbath. That was his habit. Every Sunday, he was found in a synagogue in the house of God. And these are the words of Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus was there, and they handed him a scroll, and he stood up and he read these words from Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And boy, did they ever need to hear good news, people living at that time. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And then he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, this year is not 12 months, but this is the new era, the season of time for all humanity. This year of the Lord's favor is the never-ending proclamation of the good things that God has for our lives. And when Jesus spoke these words, he introduced a whole new dynamic so that for us today, we would be living in the year of the Lord's favor.
Thank you, Lord.
Now you can take this and you can use this. We can believe this and we can declare this for the year 2022. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know about you, but I'm moving on to a year of good things that God has for our lives. Good things, new endeavors, new territories. We are heading into a year and a decade and an era of incredible, incredible changes. An era of change. Mind-blowing changes are coming into the world. And we got to realize that they are coming. You cannot turn yourself away from what is going to happen. And I was listening to the words by the prophets. It's called the apostolic prophets, the apostolic council of prophetic elders. And they meet every year. For the last 22 years they've been meeting, and they met at the end of last year. 113 recognized prophetic people, prophets, men and women met together from 50 different nations, and they came to give us the word of the Lord. And these are the words for 2022. And I want to just give you some of these words throughout my message. Listen to what they said when they talked about changes to come. We are in the midst of one of the greatest revolutions since the Industrial Revolution. This revolution will be in the unseen spaces of the metaverse and Web3 and the use of artificial intelligence and AR, augmented reality. Whoa, you've already lost me. I don't know, but did you get lost already in what they're saying? Like, what are they talking about, right? But these things are coming. Augmented reality will drastically change the world as we know it. The introduction of robotics into our everyday lives will take place. New waves of technology will be used that will result in hundreds of thousands of genuine conversions through the use of social media such as TikTok and other new innovative tools. There are many new technological breakthroughs coming that will involve the metaverse and Web3, as well as cryptocurrency. Listen, these things, this world is already happening. And these things are already taking place. God will begin, and this is really interesting, God will begin to put Christians, students of Christ, students of faith, will be on the forerunning edge of these technologies. And we're not to demonize these technologies. You know, in the past we thought, these new technologies, all of us, you know, we got old in our space. Well, I don't want to get involved in texting and internet and all that. Remember that stuff was coming? And then now we're doing it. You know, a lot of us, we kind of missed out because we didn't get on the forefront cutting edge. But we're not to demonize these things because they're neutral in themselves. They could be either used for good or for evil, right? So we need to understand how to use these for the sake of the gospel, for the gospel's sake. Huge changes are coming into this world. But even more dramatic, even more incredible, and even more important are the changes that are going to come in the realms of the Spirit, of what God is going to do. Amen? And they said some of these words like, we are heading into the era of the Holy Spirit. And when I heard those words, bam, it resonated with me. Yes, yes, I know. And these are the things that I believe, that there's got to be a moving of the Spirit on the face of this earth in our everyday, through our everyday lives, in our neighborhoods, that we have never seen before, that's going to get the attention of the world, that God is real, and He sent His Son to die for them. Amen? We're going to see shifts of the Spirit, displays of His power, miracles, waves of His power, resulting in manifestations of His glory. And I believe that. And at the same time, the Spirit of God begins to move. We're going to see demonic opposition. And what they basically said was this: expect the best, but prepare for the worst. We are to be a prepared people. God's given us power over all the powers of the enemy. But don't expect some resistance from the demonic side. Amen? You know, in this series, we're talking about being ready to move forward in the favor of God. God has something for you beyond where you are right now. He is not finished working in your life. I want to give you three scenarios. One is a historical scenario story. One is Old Testament, and one is New Testament. Three stories. And I want you to listen very carefully because there's a very important point. There's a very important thread that runs through all three of them that you need to hear this and realize this morning. Amen? Are you ready for this? Story number one. It happened in 1519. You've probably heard the story if you go back to your history books. Remember, Hernan Cortez sent from Spain to discover and conquer lands. And now he left Spain with 500 men, slaves, and 9 ships. And he discovered the mighty Aztec Empire of Mexico, which at that time numbered about 5 million people. Now, immediately Cortez knew they had a problem, and so did the men. And the problem was logistical. 500 men facing 5 million warrior people. The odds were against them. And so Cortez made a decision. And what was that decision? Burn the ships. Burn the boats. There's no turning back. There's no retreat. That's story number one. They positioned themselves so they could not, so they had to move forward, right? Okay, story number two. 1 Kings 19. This is the story of a guy named Elisha who has an encounter with a man, a prophet of God, and his name is Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Elisha came from a wealthy farming community who owned 12 yoke of oxen. Very wealthy. Most only owned 1 yoke of oxen. Plus, they owned all the plows, and they hired the men to work the plows. Elijah was the prophet of old. He was the famous prophet. He was an advisor to the king. And one day, Elijah sees the farmer, Elisha, working with us in the fields, plowing with his oxen, doesn't say a word, just comes up to him, takes off his cloak and mantle, and just throws it on Elisha. And it was, you know what? It was a symbolic act to say, I see something special on you. God is calling you to follow me. Now, Elisha responds and says, wait a minute, I've got some unfinished business. So he goes back and he burns the plows, his plow. He slaughters the oxen and he just feeds the meat to the people. Now, he could have taken the plows and put them into his barn. He could have put the oxen out to pasture. But this was Elisha's way of leaving his former way of life behind, his security, life as he'd always known him. And this is his way of saying, I'm moving on to a new life, and going back is no option for me. Story number three. The story of Jesus and his first disciples. Matthew 4:18. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come follow me, and I'll make you a new kind of fish, make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men instead of perch and bass. Men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask any questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed him. Three things that I want you to realize from these three scenarios. Are you ready for this? Number one, you can't start a new chapter until you end the old one. It takes a decisive decision on your part and my part to move on to the new that God has for you. You cannot play it safe. You know, there's this danger, I think we all have, of settling. And then when we start to settle, we start to drift. And then we get to this point where we want to play it safe in life. And there's a time in your life when you cannot play it safe. Play it safe. I say, heck, we've been doing that for the last 2 years. Playing it safe. And usually the time when God calls us to move forward is the time that when you're playing it safe and you're getting stuck. Because God does not want you to be there spiritually. Amen? Philippians, Paul said to the Philippians, by no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal. Where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus, I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. God is beckoning us onward to Jesus, His plan, His purpose, and His will for our lives. And Paul is saying, there's no option B. No option B. So therefore, burn the boats, burn the plows, and drop your nets. In Job chapter 19, 17 verse 9, it says, the righteous keep doing what? Come on. Moving forward, and those with clean hands get stronger and stronger. Moving forward, getting stronger and stronger. So here's the question. What does moving forward look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? You know, I would suggest that for some of you, it's time for you to really follow Jesus. It's time for you to walk by faith. Amen? And for some of us, I think it's being less of a spectator and being more of a participator in what God wants you to get involved with, right? Being a full-on follower of Jesus. And for some of us, it's just simply choosing God over listening to the people around you. Amen? No, so what area is God asking you to move on? What adjustment does He want you to make where you really put God absolutely first and wonder and number one? And you know, for some of you, it's for you to just continue what you're doing, to keep on the path, but to do it in a fresh, new way, a better way. But to stay on that path and just not give up. Amen? And for some of us, it's just in that one area of life to allow Jesus to be first, to be number one, to just putting God first in that one area of life. It could be in finances. It could be in tithing and offerings. It could be in the time that you know, it's my time and, you know, and don't ask me to get involved in that. Don't ask me to do this. It could be in that area. It could be in the area of your personal devotions. God wants you to spend more time with Him. Or it could be in the area of relationships. Amen? But let's ask God to show us, where do we need to move on? There's always an area in our life that God wants you to move on. And it's a critical area because it could release incredible doors and openings and breakthroughs and opportunities would come if you just put God first in that one area of your life. Amen? Number two, stop being defensive about where you are and just move on. Amen? And I think all of us, we can get caught up in these negative patterns in our life, and we could stay there forever, right? Because we defend them. We end up defending. Well, my father was an alcoholic, so that's why I've got this problem, right? Well, I didn't have the education that everybody else had, so that's where I am. I am where I am. Amen? You know, so easy to be defensive about where you are. I think a lot of people, you know, when they get older, they stop taking risks, and they've written themselves off, and they've excused themselves because of their age. You know, I just heard an extensive study in the U.S. that found this. The most productive age in human life, are you ready for this? The most productive age in the human life is between 60 to 70 years of age. The second most productive age is from 70 to 80 years of age. The third most productive age is from 50 to 60 years of age. The average age of a Nobel Prize winner is 62 years of age. The average age of presidents of prominent companies in the world, 63 years. The best years of your life are between 60 and 80 years of age. At age 60, you reach the top of your potential, and this continues into your 80s. Therefore, if you are between 60 and 70 and 70 and 80, you're in the best levels of your life. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Amen, right? You know, so age is just a number. Age is just a number. No excuses. No excuses. You know, you could be, you know, 5, 6 years old, 9 years old, and 90 years of age, or 100 years. You know, if you still got life, right? We sing that song. I'm still alive yet. So God, you have something for me. You got a purpose for me. You know, you can't win in this life of being defensive. You know, playing it safe in this life. And, you know, I see that example in sports. You know, and, you know, you can play the game in one of two ways. Let's say an NHL hockey team. You know, and in the NHL, two teams are playing against each other. And one team is very aggressive. And they're playing hard. They're on the offensive. And they've got a 3-0 lead. 3-0 lead heading, you know, they're almost finished the second period. So, but all of a sudden, you know, they try to protect that lead. They try to play it safe. And they start to back up. And what happens? The other team surges forward. And they just really press in. And they get a goal. And the momentum shifts. And then they get another goal. And they end up winning the game. Amen? Have you ever seen that happen? I've seen that happen. See, that can happen in our lives too as well. The best defense is a good offense. The best defense is a good offense. Keep making moves in the direction that God is calling you. And don't nurse old wounds and failures. Amen? And don't talk negative stuff, because negative stuff just destroys your faith and it destroys your future. Amen? I say, you know, sometimes you just got to muzzle your mouth. Shut your big fat mouth. Amen? And because the tongue and the mouth has the power of life and death. And sometimes just shut it. Amen? Say that to, no, don't say that to your spouse. You get in trouble for that. Yeah, my wife said. Listen, to see good things in your life, you've got to move beyond the offense. On the offense. Believe that God will answer your prayers. Amen? Believe that God will help you through all the problems and struggles of your life. And don't talk stuff. No, don't talk about not making it. Not making it in your marriage, not making it in your finances, not making it in your business, right? And here's one area where I don't want you to get defensive in, and that's when we have the offering times. Because so many people get offended during the offering times. They get upset. Well, they're taking the offering. They're asking for money again. You know, why are they doing it? Instead of that, why don't you just give generously, give joyfully, and declare, my God will meet all my needs according to his riches. Amen? You know? And, you know, it is he who supplies the seed and multiplies it back to the sower. You know, get that mindset. Get that mindset that stays positive and assertive, right? And just trust God. Amen? And make that declaration. This is a year of good things, and I'm believing for my breakthrough. Number three, breakthroughs. Breakthroughs almost always begin with prayer. They begin with prayer. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we had 3 days of fasting and prayer last week. Because it's almost a precursor to breakthrough. You know, so if there's a goal that we need to establish for 2022, I would say it's connecting with our Creator. It's connecting to the one who created us. You know, and how do we connect? Well, we connect through prayer. And we connect through praise. And we connect through worship. And we think about it. There's over 6 billion people alive on the face of this planet. And every single one, God created them with potential and with purpose. Colossians 1:15 says, we look at the sun and we see the God who cannot be seen. You want to know what God is? Look at Jesus. We look at his son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. So if you want to find your purpose and your potential, consult and connect with your Creator. Amen? Prayer is so important. And let me say this, prayer is not a defensive mechanism when you get in trouble. You know, a lot of people pray only when they have a problem. And when they pray, they only pray the problem. You know, oh Lord, help me. Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, nobody cares. Lord, I need to be loved. You know, and we end up praying the problem. But there's another way to pray. And Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, pray, don't pray for the problem. Pray for the potential, for what's not there yet. Pray for breakthroughs. Pray for open doors. Pray for those opportunities to come into your life. You know, pray for your kids. Pray for their potential. And pray for the desires, the things that you desire. Pray for the promises of God, the things that you know that God wants to give you. Amen? Breakthroughs come with prayer. In this 2022 prophetic word, the prophet said that this year, 2022, is going to be a year of open doors. And then they recited the key of Isaiah, which is Isaiah 22:22. And by the way, they say that the February 22 of this year is going to be of special significance anyway, so I'm going to keep my ears and eyes open on February the 22nd. But Isaiah 22:22, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Now, and they go on to say this, doors of bondage will be closed. New opportunity for jobs, wealth, business startups, and blessings will open, including the buying and selling of property. There were prophecies and things that you felt would happen in 2020, but they got delayed. The spirit of delay will be broken. And when the blessings manifest, they will do so with double blessings. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to being blessed this year for breakthroughs. Amen? Breakthroughs begin when we connect with our Creator and we begin to pray. I want to give you just one more important thing for us in order to move on to a year of good things. And it's this. It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. And number four I put there, it's going to take a leap of faith. Most times, God asks every one of us to take steps of faith, small steps of faith. But sometimes, he asks you to take the leap of faith. And there's a difference. And here's an example that, and I've used this example before, but this is a good example of the African gazelle. African gazelle is an amazing animal. You know, and you know it has the ability to leap 10 feet high and it can jump lengths of over 30 feet. Now, you would think an animal like that could not be contained in a zoo, right? But, you know, in order to contain that gazelle, all they have to do is put a 3-foot fence or a wall around it and it stays confined. Why? Why is that? You know why? Because the African gazelle will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. You know, and that's so much like us too as well, right? See, we want this guarantee from God before we take that step of faith and obedience. But what does that do? That nullifies faith, right? You know, what does the Bible say? We're to walk by faith and not by sight, right? So, sometimes I say we're going to have to take a leap of faith. And in this coming year, when you realize you have an opportunity or God's going to ask you to take this step, it's going to take faith. It's going to take the faith of God. You're going to have to exercise your faith. Are you excited about that? I think so. You know, a few years ago, Karen and I, we had to take a leap of faith just to come to this church. We had to take a leap of faith. We had to come to this place that could not afford to pay us any wages. It was a very small handful of people that had, you know, had experienced conflict and in the church, and so we had to go, you know, we had to really just pay our own way as we passed through the church. So we went into a mounting personal debt of over $2,200 every month, you know. But, you know, we pressed into God. We believed that God was going to supply, and God did miracles for us in our finances, and He gave us a business, a sushi business, and we'll share that with you sometime. And I want to tell you, we still know how to make great sushi, don't we? You know, last Christmas time, we gathered the family in Nelson, and we just made sushi. It was the best meal that we've ever had for a long time. Anyway, you know, but God is so good. You know, and that was a few years ago, but listen, we are still here. The best years and the days are still ahead of us, amen? And what we're doing today, and I believe this, we're laying a foundation for the era of the Holy Spirit, for holy shifts of God to come. And that's why it's so important for you, for all of us to be one, to be united, one in heart, one in mind, and one in spirit, because together we can do it, amen? We can do great things. We can make a big, great difference. Now, near the end of that prophetic word is a paragraph entitled, Potent Closing Word, Limitless. Potent Closing Word, Limitless. Some have gotten stuck through the pain of uncertainties of the last season of the pandemic. The Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders warned of a virus-like sickness that would come upon the earth that would seemingly could not be cured. However, in the midst of this challenging time, God is going to cause us to understand that we are limitless in what we believe for from God. There will be a breakthrough of the ceilings that stopped your faith. Faith on new levels will be critical in this season. There will be unstoppable breakthroughs. In order to manifest our God-given abilities, we must have the faith of God. And remember, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Listen, we cannot stay where we are as we are. You know, to do that would actually be against God's will. I believe that, to play it safe. Remember in the parable of the talents, that one guy had that one talent, he buried it, he played it safe. What did the master do when he called him forth? He said, you wicked, lazy servant. He said, take it away from that one guy and give it to the guy that has 10. So, you know, let's not play it safe. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He left all the comforts of home. Why? So that we could have salvation. So that we could be brought into His family. So that we could be, you know, we could be delivered from hell and death. Jesus did not play it safe, did He? So let's us not play it safe. You know, let's believe God for the opportunities. Let's move forward into the potentials that God has for us. And let's not get caught up. I said this on my promo preview. No, let's not get caught up in our small little worlds. Amen? And let's just move ahead. We got to realize who we are. We're here by God's design. We're the design of God, right? We're children. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And we're here to be messengers of salt and light, of hope and light. And we're to be risk takers. Amen? Amen? So let's leave our comfort and our ease behind, and let's move on to a year of good things. If you agree with that, shout amen. 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 Okay, bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, maybe you're here today, and you have never opened up your heart to Jesus. You've never asked Him to come into your life. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old passes away and the new comes. You know, and when God comes into your life, He doesn't just make a small change. He makes a massive change. He'll totally change your life. He wants you to exchange your old life for the new life He wants to bring into you. And He wants to transform you into the likeness of your Son. So if that's you, and you're ready for that, you're ready for a new life, and you're ready for the gift of eternal life and salvation, then I want you to say this prayer. But when you say this prayer, I want you to say with all the meaning in your heart, say it with all your heart. Are you ready for this? Repeat these words after me. Dear God, my heart is open, my heart is receptive, and I ask you to do a new thing in my heart. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to make me into that new person through Jesus Christ. I open my life to you. Come into my heart and be Savior and Lord of my life, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.